Hey there, NFL football fans. This is the lovely Rita Sanchez, aka your Option Football champ for the 2023 NFL season. I'm inviting you to join us for the 2024 Option, where we pick the winning teams for each week's matchups and compete against each other to see whose picks reign supreme. Are you in? Head over to CBS Sports and search for the Option 2024 League, or hit the link in the bio on the Fade Route socials and join today. It's for free. Pick a witty name, some winning teams, and I'll see you out there for week one.
Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you tonight. The injury bug has hit the NBA. The Jets, Cowboys, Bears, and Giants are bad. And the Chiefs and Ravens appear to be powerhouses in the AFC. But we begin today's show with the Steelers beating the Commies 28-27. It was a boxing match between two formidable opponents that ended with a gut-wrenching fourth down play where the Commies rookie Johnny Newton fell victim to the oldest trick in the book, the hard count. So the Steelers moved to 7-2. They haven't played any divisional games yet. But are the Steelers for real? I believe I had them being for real in the beginning of the season. Just want to put that out there.
What I find insane is that we're going into week 11 and they have yet to play a division opponent.
Yeah, they got a pretty soft schedule.
Yeah, I mean, you have...
You got to get there.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I wish I could get that. You know, like, built up all this momentum, all this confidence. Good for you guys. Good for you. I mean, in the next few weeks, you have Ravens, Browns, Bengals, Browns, Eagles, Ravens, a showdown with the Chiefs on Christmas Day, and then you end the season with the Bengals. So that is not an easy schedule by any sense of the imagination. So the Steelers had to strike while the iron's hot. They had to get off to this hot start. And, you know, it was a head-scratcher when they went to Russ after Justin Fields got them going. And it's proven to work. You know, they're averaging 10 more points a game with Russ than they do with Justin Fields.
How you like my guy, Mike Williams? I told you he was going to fit in great there.
Well, he's fitting in great there because Russ is actually delivering him the football.
And it was on the red line.
It was the deep ball, the moon ball that Mike Williams is known for, and that's what he does. So great. He did more in Pittsburgh than he did in New York in a span of four quarters.
Yeah, but you know what? Hats off to Mike Williams for when Aaron Rodgers gave him shit for not running the correct route. He didn't say anything negative. Just shook his head and was like, you know, I gotta play better, you know? Mm-hmm. And when they asked him if there was any problems with Aaron Rodgers, he's like, nope, everything's fine. And now he goes to Pittsburgh and boom.
Well, he's a pro. What can you say?
He's a pro. He's a pro. Because it could have, you know what? He really could have went after him. Mr. Aaron Rodgers, who was 15 for 32 with 185 yards passing against the Cardinals in a game the Jets were favored by 1.5. Can't figure that shit out.
We'll get to Mr. Cayenne Pepper and Water in a second. But, you know, this was a boxing match. It's definitely a good way to describe it. And the Steelers, they outpunched. They did exactly what they're supposed to do. Now, they did get outpassed by Jaden Daniels, but ultimately Jaden Daniels didn't put the ball in the end zone. Russ did three times. Now, Austin Eckler got into the end zone twice, but the Commies only had 60 rushing yards. So the Steelers defense is for real. We kind of knew that the Steelers defense was going to be for real. It's the passing game. We knew the run game. We knew Warren and Harris. We knew the defense. We had questions about the passing game. And that was from... It was more like Denver Russ, right? Is Denver Russ going to show up? Is Seattle Russ going to show up? Is Wisconsin Russ going to show up? Is New York Yankee Russ going to show up? Like, who were you going to get when you brought this guy in? And it was the same thing with Justin Fields. Were you going to get Ohio State Justin Fields? Or were you going to get the guy that was getting scraped off of Soldier Field? Like, what were you going to get? And this is what Mike Tomlin does. We talked about culture last week, right? The Pittsburgh Steelers have a culture. And it starts at the top with Mike Tomlin. And if you don't buy in, you're not around very long. Ask Deontay Johnson about that. Deontay Johnson, who just got roasted by Coach Tomlin in his press conference about how there are better people who figure into their offense a lot more that we need to worry about, and that's who we're going to talk about. So, just like, boom, roasted, as Michael Scott once said. But the Steelers are absolutely for real, and they are absolutely for real. If they play like this, if Russ has command of the offense, that is for real, man. That is absolutely for real. Now, what are you going to get from other guys not named Freiermuth and not named Mike Williams? Because, yeah, George Pickens caught a touchdown pass, but he also really gave up on Russ's pick to where he initiated contact with the defender who didn't have the ball. It was very weird what George Pickens decided to do when it was evident that he wasn't going to be able to either tackle the defender who intercepted Russ or knock the ball down himself. So it's very interesting to see what's going to happen from there. But, you know, the Commies, they played a hell of a game. They played their asses off. And at the end, you were still within a down of getting the ball back. But it's the oldest trick in the book, like you said, hard count. Fourth, there's no way in hell Mike Tomlin was snapping that ball. You know that. I know that. Everybody in freaking... Everybody at FedEx Field knew that. The coaches knew that. Deep down, Johnny Newton knew it. And he couldn't stop himself from doing it. That's the hard count. Right? Who has the best hard counts? Eli Manning had a great hard count. Aaron Rodgers has a great hard count. Russ has a good hard count.
Aaron Rodgers is good at something?
Well, he was. He doesn't use the hard count because he's never in that position with the Jets. He hasn't been in that. I'm sure that he still can do it. It's possible. But
they're like, we don't need to get off to sack your ass.
Nah, we're all right. We are all right.
We're all right, man.
This schedule is going to be brutal moving forward. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. Like, you have... We already went over it. Plus the Eagles. Plus the Chiefs. There's a serious chance here that they either ride high or they only win two games. It is very possible.
Yeah.
Because that division is no joke. And their out-of-division opponents left for the season are no joke. And you're chasing Buffalo. You're chasing Kansas City. You have big-time aspirations. And, you know, now's the time. But, you know, the confidence, you have to be very confident in what you've seen. If you're a Steelers fan, you got to be riding high. How can you not be?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think... Listen, they started the year with Justin Fields and they were playing okay, right? I mean, I'm pretty sure he was undefeated,
yeah.
Right? Or he lost eight. I think he lost
one game, I think.
Two games. We lost one game, right? And the defense has been pretty healthy. And TJ's playing very well. We're really going to find out a lot about them this week when Baltimore comes to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know, this is a, you always call it the black and blue division. And the thing that I think was impressive what the Steelers did this past weekend is they won a close game. You know, it was a back and forth affair. I think being able to hang in there and beat, you know, Jaden Daniels, who's been really changing things for Washington this year. But I'm curious on how they're going to play against Lamar and play against Derrick Henry after the game that they just had against the Bengals. So I think the stretch that the Steelers are about to go through, we're going to find out who they are. And they're going to find out who they are. Because these games could be tough enough where they prepare them for a playoff run. Mm-hmm. Right? Or it could be detrimental to them where Russ gets exposed, where they have a tough time running the ball, where they're not able to get off the field on third down.
Well, what we know about the... Well, let's just deal with the matchup immediately at hand is the Ravens and the Steelers. The Ravens don't pass protect. They don't pass defend very well.
No.
They really don't.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, Russ has a real opportunity here to shine bright. And he's got some, you know, Mike Williams, and he's got George Pickens. They got Freiermuth. They've got players. They're not, I wouldn't call them A-level players. They're a solid B, but a solid B that doesn't make mistakes and plays good defense could beat you.
Absolutely.
Could beat you. But we go into the two AFC powerhouses continued their winning ways with narrow escapes. We spoke about the Ravens surviving the Bengals 35-34. The Ravens were down 21-7 in the third quarter and came back to win that game on a failed two-point attempt. And the Chiefs made it to 9-0, beating the Broncos 16-14 on a blocked field goal attempt at the gun. I watched that game live. So did the Ravens and the Chiefs win these games? Or, you know, are there cracks in the foundation that each team should be worried about?
Well, you had a little bit of luck if you're the Bengals, right? You had a chance to get there. You had a little bad luck, I should say, because you had two calls that didn't go your way. And then, what the hell are you doing? What kind of stupid, nonsensical decision do you make? You are 1 point down, right? Kick the field goal. Kick the extra point, rather. Kick the extra point. Go to overtime. Take it. Instead, you decide, we're going to go for the jugular. We're going to go, and we're going to go for two. And, yeah. That's... To say that's a low percentage play is an understatement. You have no wiggle room. Yeah, it's fantastic, but you are literally tight roping without a net there. Like, that is a boneheaded decision if you are the Cincinnati Bengals. So, yes, while you have to be pleased with the Ravens' performance, right? You know, Lamar Jackson almost threw for 300. He had four touchdowns. Derrick Henry had another one on the ground. Like, you have to be concerned about the defense. You're letting up 34 to friggin' Joe Burrow.
How do you think Jamar Chase feels after having over 200 yards and three touchdowns and losing the game?
Oh, God.
He had 264 yards receiving on 11 receptions. They could not fucking find him in a closet over the weekend.
So, yeah, no. Like, they had 421 passing yards as a team.
Somebody cover Chase. Yes. Where the fuck is
Joe Burrow threw for 421 passing yards, and Jamar Chase accounted for 264 of them. Yeah. And they lost.
But they, Chase Brown fucking fumbling the football.
Yeah.
The ball on their own 30. That gets them within a touchdown.
It does.
And it's just downhill from there. I mean, Lamar played amazing. He played.
He did. Derrick Henry did a great job. That defense is suspect. The defense is. He did enough. he did enough.
He had a pedestrian day for himself.
But he did enough. Yeah,
68 yards and a touchdown. He scored a touchdown. I think it's the 14th straight game he scored a touchdown. Oh, no. It's 10 straight games with a touchdown. But I think going back to last year, it's 14 touchdowns on the season, I think he has. You know, when it comes to the Ravens, I think it's show. I mean, for them, I think it's about resolve, mm-hmm. right? Things weren't going great. Things weren't going right. They still found a way to win the game. And for the Bengals, it's like, God, what more do we have to do? I guess Zach Taylor's going to lose his job because they're not performing very well. As good as Joe Burrow is, and as good as all their specialty players are, they're losing games. They're not winning games. What are the Bengals gonna? This is probably a good bet. Is like, what do the Bengals need to do to make the playoffs, right? Because you have to think that they're good enough to make the playoffs, right? What's their upcoming schedule?
Let's take a look.
They got the Chargers. They've got the Steelers. Cowboys.
Okay.
Titans. Bengals might not be easy. Steelers might not be easy. Let's see what the odds are. I got to think they're going to make the playoffs. They're too good. They have too much talent not to make the playoffs. But, God, can they play any fucking defense? For God, they used to say that guy, Lou Amarillo, the defensive coordinator mm-hmm. of the Bengals, was like going to be a next head coach. He can't stop a nosebleed, man. Like, what the hell is going on?
Staten Island's own Lou Anarumo. But, yeah, that's a problem. They have regressed since they went to the Super Bowl. Yeah, Joe Burrow got hurt, but...
And you know what, Z? They were playing the Ravens tough for two mm-hmm. quarters. Like, giving them a problem. Like, they were swarming Lamar. They were swarming Derrick Henry. They were rallying to the football. And you're like, oh, man. Like, they're turning a page tonight. Right now, they're turning the page tonight. And then Chase Brown
fumbles.
See what touchdown. We don't get it. We go three down. And then it should have never got to where it went. And I don't know.
But
I don't know
about the it's boneheaded. It's completely boneheaded. But if you want to talk, I mean, let's look at the flip side of that coin. The yeah. Chiefs didn't do much offensively, right? They didn't. They didn't really light the world on fire.
Denver has the number one defense in the NFL.
But they did just enough to win. 266 and a touchdown for Mahomes. I mean, they got nothing going on the ground. Absolutely nothing.
How impressed are you with Bo Nix?
Bo Nix is a solid player.
Right? For an old man?
So...
That's impressive for him to go into Kansas City and play as well as he did, yeah. right? He doesn't look like a...
He's poised beyond his years. He is.
215 yards passing. He only had 8 incompletions and no turnovers. That's pretty damn special.
But you know what? That's also a credit to Sean Payton. Sean Payton is coaching him up.
How about this? Nick Bolton and Bo Nix are the same age, but Bo Nix is a rookie, and Nick Bolton's going on year 4.
How about that? I mean, you kind of have to, like, sometimes you have to throw that shit out the window. You remember when Chris Winkie played for the Carolina Panthers? He was 29. Brandon Whedon was, what, 31? Like, some of the players had jocks older than Brandon Whedon.
Maybe this is a good idea. Maybe this is how, you know, we bring NFL Europe back. Maybe this is how we get, you know, football in Europe. You know, these quarterbacks and other players who are going to be on the bench to start in college could play in Europe for a couple of years, not lose college eligibility, and then come back over and step into starting roles.
Well, I mean, it's possible. It's possible. Now, you also had the
Keys not losing eligibility. Keys, like, you know, giving them that...
Between red shirts and the COVID exemption, that's what happened. That's the reason why you had this situation. That's why you had a guy like JT Daniels play for, like, 8 fucking teams. Like, at that point, was he going for his doctorate? Is he fucking Scotty Reynolds? Scotty Reynolds...
But it helped him. I mean, look who he's starting over. He's starting over Jared Stidham, and he's starting over Zach Wilson.
Yeah. I mean, the bar's kind of low, but you know, like, but with the Chiefs, they did just enough to win, and that's all good teams need to do. It doesn't matter by how many; It doesn't matter if you win by one or by 31. What's most important is that you win the game. You talked about battle-tested with the Ravens. The Chiefs are battle-tested too, and they're not drawing a cupcake next week. Like, it's just
They gotta go to
Buffalo. Yeah. So this, and they already played out of their norm because they played at a 1 o'clock Eastern, which they never play 1 o'clock. I was very surprised that they were scheduled for 1 o'clock Eastern on Sunday. It's like, usually they're the 4 o'clock game. It was just really bizarre. But the Chiefs are going to get everybody's best shot. They do get everybody's best shot. They've weathered the storm. Now, Kelce needs to come through. D-Hop needs to come through. The guys that you need to come through need to come through. Kareem Hunt cannot be your leading receiver. If Kareem Hunt is your leading receiver, there's a problem.
That's so strange. You have DeAndre Hopkins, and you have a plethora of tight ends to throw to. And if I recall, he didn't do much on the ground.
Right? 35 yards.
Like, you know, there's Denver tip really went in there with a blueprint. Yeah. They went in with a game plan and how we're going to stop the fucking Chiefs today.
And they almost did it.
How we're going to stop the Chiefs today, guys. And Sean McDermott's a smart guy. So maybe he watches this film and he puts that in some of his players and they're able to get it done. But I thought they were taking the L. I picked them. I picked them to lose this past weekend. And I had it up until 10 seconds left in the game when it was a brilliant block. And, you know, maybe we have Coach Westhoff on again and find out what happened on that play, you know?
Coach, we'd love to have you back on.
Chenal gets through, and who I think is probably the best linebacker in the league, and blocks it. And it was just like, you know, without hesitation, they seemed pretty confident. Even lining up for the field goal, you kind of felt an uneasiness, like, wow, are they really going to win this game?
Yeah.
Are they really going to beat Kansas City in Kansas City? And then mayhem.
And then no. And then no. But, you know, this is the...
You will not...
This is the growing pains of a team that we didn't expect to do that much. You know, like, you had enough. Like, it was there. And Will Lutz is a competent kicker. Like, he is. Yeah. So, it's one of those things you chalk it up to execution. Like, the Chiefs made a play. And that's exactly what you need to do. That's what...
They noticed a chink in the armor. They noticed a chink in the armor that, you know, one of the guys was not lining up properly and they felt like they can run right through him. And it's exactly what they did.
That's what you have to do. You have to... But that goes back to scouting. That goes back to your meetings. That goes back to the attention to detail that comes from the head down. That is the culture that we talked about with the Chiefs. You need to have that level of attention to detail because that's the difference between 9-0 and momentum going into Orchard Park, or 8-1, and now there's a sense of vulnerability there. But
I don't want to put this into existence, and I'm not trying to shit on the Chiefs, but these are the kinds of things that they get you to the playoffs. And they get you to host a playoff game, but then it's that one game where it just all falls apart, right? It just, that's the way it feels with me. It's like, you know, they're winning these close games and, oh, we blocked a punt and, oh, we won by one, oh, we won by five. And then all of a sudden you get into a playoff game at home against an opponent that's hungrier, that's more determined, that hasn't had everything fall their way all season. And they pull the upset. And you're left with your jaw down, like, how the fuck did we just lose by two touchdowns to, like, the Bengals or the Dolphins? Or, you know, just, it's just, that's football. That's football. So I'm not trying to speak that into existence, but it definitely feels like that's something that could be on the horizon for the Kansas City.
No, you're absolutely right. And that, like you said, that's football. But it's one of those things that, with the extended run that they've been on, they've had their fair share of adversity. So it's not one of those situations where, you know, I liken it to the Eagles. The Eagles are smug, they're brash, they're cocky, and then once Vita Vea stopped the tush push, it was, that's all she wrote. right? And that was it. They packed it in that game. Like, once somebody had an answer for them. But here's the thing with Andy Reid. You think you have the answers, he changes the question. Like, he's brilliant offensively. We haven't scraped the surface of what Andy Reid's got in that playbook, right? He hasn't really been goofing around. Last year was the year that they might have gotten picked off because they were doing like that snowflake huddle, that snow globe huddle. They were just fucking around. And this year, they're not fucking around.
With the Lions or the Lions.
Oh, they're just straight mauling people. That's what the Lions do. And they've taken, but good point. They've taken on the personality of their coach. Dan Campbell will fuck you up. He looks like he'll beat the shit out of you.
And, I'll bite off your kneecap.
I'll stick it down your throat. But that's what, you know, like, attitude reflects leadership, as they said in Remember the Titans. And it's absolutely right. But over to the NFC. The aforementioned Lions overcame a 23-7 deficit at halftime and 5 Jared Goff picks. Yeah, my MVP. Yeah, that is really looking great. Thanks, Jared. But they won. They knocked off the Texans. We had questions about the Lions' ability to win away from home at Ford Field, but those questions were answered in resounding fashion. Has Detroit cemented themselves as the team to beat in the NFC?
Well, he definitely showed some resilience. I didn't like the game plan they had. I didn't like the way Goff played. I mean, like, what the fuck, dude? Like, you went, like, the last, what, 5 weeks without the ball hitting the ground. Like, very rarely throwing incompletions, and you throw 5 picks in this game? I didn't like how they got away from the run game. Not enough Jahmyr Gibbs. Probably too much Montgomery. I didn't feel like Jameson got involved enough. Amon St. Brown is a beast. LaPorta got hurt. They had to rely on him because, you know, everything else was failing on them. They're the happy story. They're the Cinderella story. It's like, you know, it's really lining up for it to be the Lions, right? And the Chiefs. I feel like that's where we're kind of heading to. So I want to say that I don't want to jump off that. But at the same time, you can't play that way against the Texans, who have been struggling. Yeah. Like, they've been really, really struggling. And it just makes me worried that a team like the Lions could get beat by a healthy Buccaneers team, by a really good Arizona team, you know, and a division opponent like the Packers. So while I do still see them as the favorite, I'm not. Their cement is still drying. How about that? It's not solid yet. It's been poured. It's, you know, been laid out. They're stuck in position in it, but someone could still knock them off of the top of the mountain there.
I mean, the NFC is weak this year. It's pretty weak, especially since the Niners have kind of taken a step back with all the injuries. The Bucks, you said healthy. Right? Well, when healthy. They may get Evans back. They're aiming to get Evans back. But yeah, that's gonna be a hard press this year. The Vikings don't scare anybody anymore. They almost lost to Mac fucking Jones and the Jaguars. The Packers are formidable, but I don't think they're as good. The Eagles, meh. The Falcons, meh. And like you mentioned, the Cardinals, they're okay. I mean, shit.
You really think the Cardinals are okay? I think James Conner's having a great year. Kyler Murray looks really good. I mean, defensively, they probably can be better.
The Spellman Falcons from 2002 could have looked great against the Jets this weekend. You guys could have put a 50. Fitty, you could have put up a 50 burger on that shit show that was the Jets. Come on now. Let's. They're just okay. And the Commies. The Commies took a bad L, but they're a decent team. I gotta say, of the bunch, the Lions do stand out. They stand head and shoulders above the rest right now. It was an ugly game, completely dog shit game from Jared Goff. An inexcusable game. But we talked about resolve. Steely resolve. Do champions have it? Champions do have it. And in this case, this team, they take on the attitude of their coach. They could have packed it in. They didn't. Not only did they not pack it in, they shut out the Texans in the second half. They shut them out. And they knew that confidence that we were talking about. That they knew exactly what they needed to do. They executed it. And they walked away with the W. Does it scare you? Absolutely it scares you. Because if Jared Goff has this performance in the playoffs, they're going home. 100% they are. And
right, against the wrong opponent, you're not going to get back into the game. You're not going to be even that many.
No, absolutely not. And that comes back to the running game. You got to get Gibbs going. 19 for 71 ain't doing it. 12 for 32 for Montgomery ain't doing it. You need more. You need to.
Yeah, I'd like to see them when they're in trouble. I'd like to see them turn to Gibbs more, turn Montgomery off. We need our younger back to torch these guys. That's what we need. And then Montgomery could be your goal line guy if you get down there. But I think your game plan is fine if you want to have balance between the two backs. When you're in trouble, you got to go with the stud. And the stud is Gibbs.
No, you're absolutely right. Gibbs brings that intangible. Montgomery is good. He's a good running back. He's a good handcuff for Gibbs. And that's why they're Sonic and Knuckles. But you need more out of St. Brown. 6 for 60 and a touchdown? 3 for 53 for Jameson Williams. You need more. You need more from them. And they were able to scratch, fight, and claw back into it. So, that's the moxie you need. That's the resolve you need. And they did what they needed to do. But you have to be a little concerned. You have to be a little concerned. But at the end of the day, if this was the AFC, I would be way more concerned. That was about a 5.5-6 on a scale. That's not that. It's okay. I may lose a little sleep over it. I may be a little agitated, but
wait, explain your
scale. So one is not concerned at all. 10 is I'm lighting my hair on fire. And I'm at a 6. I'm like, okay. That's a little troublesome. A little troublesome. Some things that we can correct. They draw the Jags next week, right? They draw the Colts after that, the Bears.
That's a get right game. Or is that a trap game? Is that a trap game or is it a get right
game? Is Mac Jones playing is the question. Or are you talking about the Colts?
Yes.
No. No, there's no the trap is set that's the Jags. The trap is for Doug Peterson. The Colts, are they gonna start Richardson? They said they were gonna start Flacco for the rest of the year, but yeah, I think at some point they're going to bottom out and Richardson's going to get to play.
Wait. So if against the Jaguars, you're saying it's not a trap game, it's a get-right
game. It's a get-right game. They're going to beat the snot out of the Lions. The Jaguars, rather. The Lions are going to beat the shit out of them. And you have the Colts. You have the Bears who are floundering. We'll talk about them in a second. December 5th against the Packers. Okay, now you have my attention. If they do what they did against the Texans, against the Packers, they're losing. The week after that, they play the Buffalo Bills. if they do that, they're definitely going to lose. Because that could be a potential Super Bowl matchup. Same thing, you know, Sunday night. That was a potential Super Bowl matchup. It's still possible. Then you got the Bears again. You have the Niners.
The problem with the Texans is they have no depth.
Right. You lost Collins. You lost Diggs.
Dell, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
He's not a one. He's just not a one. Mechie came in, you know. Like, good for... They took him all those years ago. He had cancer. And now he seems to be, like, finally, like, working his way into the plan. Which is great, because he's a fine football player. Before, you know, he started dealing with his health issues. And then, to round out their schedule, they have the Niners. And then, they have the Vikings. So, who could be playing for a playoff spot? So the Vikings are definitely going to give them their best shot. So any of those teams, with the exception of the Jaguars and the Colts, you give a B performance. That's a B performance from the team. That's a C minus, a D plus from Jared Goff. Five picks. I'll go D plus. He did throw two touchdowns. D plus performance from him, you're losing. So that's definitely something you gotta clean up.
You can't help but just smile when you see a balloon. PopStarsBalloons.com offers spectacular balloon decor for all of life's events, specializing in custom balloon creations and installations for private events, corporate and school functions, photo shoots, brand events, and fundraisers. Led by certified balloon artist, the Popstars Balloon team shape balloons into custom works of art. Popstar Balloons provides full concept balloon design, build and installation services, as well as pre-assembled decor pieces available for pickup or delivery. Popstar Balloons is a woman-owned, small family business focused on providing professional balloon services using only high-quality, 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons made in the U.S. and Italy. They consistently prioritize the safest use and handling of balloons in a sustainable and responsible manner. Popstars Balloons is located in Westchester County, New York, but likes to party at events throughout New York City, Connecticut, Long Island, and New Jersey. Popstars Balloons can also accommodate balloon decor services for destination events. No event too big, no event too small, and their custom personalization service is the perfect touch. They also offer a full line of event decor options like backdrop, prop rentals, tablescapes, dessert table setups, custom signs, and they always deliver with a smile. Whether you're looking for gift balloons, classic decor, or large-scale design for a big impact, Popstars Balloons will create the perfect decor for your theme, vibe, and space. So if you have an idea in mind or need inspiration, Popstars Balloons decor will be the cutting edge and spectacular. Visit popstarballoons.com to pop your next event.
Speaking of cleaning up, might have to clean house. Yeah. Now, let's go to the other side of that win-loss column. The Jets and Cowboys got their doors blown off. The Bears lost to the woeful Patriots. The Giants got knocked off by the Panthers in Germany in overtime. So what team is in the biggest trouble moving forward?
Z, you're not going to like my answer here, but I'm going to go with the New York Giants. I mean, you're a Giants. Yes. Okay?
I am.
So... Let me ask you some questions.
Sure.
Okay. So as a Giant fan, would you prefer to have the Giants problems, or would you prefer to have Philadelphia Eagle problems? You'd rather be Philly now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you rather be the Washington Commanders right now, or would you rather be the Giants?
I'd rather be the Commanders, and I could have been if it wasn't for the Italian.
Right. Would you rather be Dallas or would you rather be the Giants?
That's a tough one.
Probably rather be the Giants, right?
Take the Giants. Here's the thing, though. You also... I think I'd rather be the Giants than the Cowboys. And, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So now, would you rather be Detroit or the Giants?
Oh, come on now.
Would you rather be Minnesota or the Giants?
I'd rather be Minnesota, yeah.
Would you rather be Green Bay?
Green Bay. Yeah, yeah.
Would you rather be Chicago or the
Teeth dryer.
Chicago has
Yeah, but talent doesn't talent doesn't always equate to wins.
So you'd rather be the Giants?
I have more trust in Dable and Shane than I do in the brain trust of the Bears. They just fired Shane Waldron, by the way. They just fired their OC.
So that's two out of
so far, yeah.
We're just doing the National. We're just doing the NFC. Would you rather be Atlanta or the Giants?
I'd rather be Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta's, you know, that Penix pick isn't looking so bad anymore. Would you rather be Tampa?
I would rather be Tampa.
Baker's not bad. Okay, would you rather be New Orleans or the Giants?
I would,
New Orleans is in cap
New hell. Orleans is in cap hell.
They have
Kamara. That's what's giving me pause. That's why I'm thinking about this.
They have Olave, but Derek Carr.
They had Olave. And then Derek Carr happened.
Yeah. With Derek Carr.
Yes. I think I would rather be the Giants there, because I know Daniel Jones couldn't deliver that ball.
That's fair. And Carolina just beat the Giants, but would you rather be the Giants or the Carolina?
I mean, I had that. I mean,
Bryce Young has just picked up two wins, right?
Yeah. And Chuba, so, they have Chuba Hubbard. They extended Chuba Hubbard.
Chuba's top five.
Statistically, they have the worst defense in the league, and you just lost to them. You lost to them. In Munich. Yeah, so I think I'd rather be Carolina.
Okay. So there you go. So now, the NFC West.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, would you rather be the Cardinals or the Giants?
Cardinals. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you rather be San Francisco or the Giants?
No. That's a lot. That's loaded. That's pretty loaded. I would rather be San Francisco, meaning that, you know, I was in the Super Bowl, for Christ's sake.
In the Super Bowl, you have a quarterback. You have running backs. I mean, Jordan Mason is a top.
I have a wideout who tried to strangle my long snapper.
You might have a kicking issue.
Oh, no, I definitely have a kicking issue.
Rams or the Giants?
Okay, I'm the Rams.
You could argue that you could trade one of those receivers and really get back some return.
You could.
Your defense is middle of the road. Your quarterback is a veteran.
I think I'd rather be
He couldn't throw a touchdown this past weekend.
I'd rather be the Giants. My receivers are better. I mean, you have the top two, but the drop off. You have Tutu Atwell as your number three, and he was your number one for weeks. So I would.
And they won when he was there, but they lost last night. So odd.
Right. Kyren Williams. I'd rather have him. I mean, Tracy has shown flashes. He needs to hold the ball high and tight. We know this. Singletary, like, you were texting me as the game was going on, why aren't you going to Singletary there? Like, Tracy's taking the job. He's become the short yardage guy. But, I got to argue that Kyren Williams is still, you know, he's a better option at this moment. But the Giants are the top team in sacks, right? They can't stop a run to save their lives, but they get after the quarterback. And that's something that's lacking with the Rams, because, you know, Mr. Donald is actually in the stands instead of on the field.
And then would you rather be Seattle or the Giants?
Seattle seems to be in a little bit of turmoil right now. I really, you know, they have talent.
They have three wide.
They have talent. They got Geno.
They have a capable quarterback. Yeah. They have two capable running backs. Offensively, they seem like they're okay.
And defense, they weren't terrible. They just released their starting linebacker, who leads the team in tackles. I think that's odd. But
so which one would you rather?
I probably have to go with the Seahawks.
So there. So out of the 16 teams in the NFC, there's only four that are worse off than the Giants. So yeah, I think that situation is pretty bad.
I don't know. I mean, the owner has already said that Daboll and Shane are coming back. I just don't know where you go from here. I know you have to start over at quarterback, but I don't know if Daboll should be calling the plays next year. I don't understand the offense. Why are we running the ball with Daniel Jones? Like, why is that a play in our playbook? Why are we doing fake handoff and running an option and running up the right sideline? Why are we quarterback drawn? I don't understand. There's Malik Nabers. Wandale Robinson is a good player. Slayton is a good player. Tracy's a decent running back. Why can't we get these guys the ball? Is it Daniel can't get them the ball? Like, I just don't understand. What do you know what's going on?
It is that Daniel can't get them the ball. We saw Tyrod Taylor do it before he got hurt, and then we saw Tommy DeVito do it. So if Tommy DeVito can do it, anybody can fucking do it. Tommy DeVito's cutting cold cuts right now. Like, he's at the friggin' deli in his, you know,
Tommy Cutler.
Exactly. Baby. Yeah. So if those guys can deliver the ball and deliver victories, why the hell can't Daniel Jones? It's the same shit offensive line. It was the same offensive line.
Is that on Daniel? Is it on Daboll? Is it on Shane? Like, where did this go wrong?
It's on Dave Gettleman. It's on Dave fucking Gettleman.
But dude,
they're coaching him like they didn't. They're coaching him like Jeff Fisher coached Jared Goff. They didn't want him. They were. It wasn't his guy. Daboll was brought in under the auspices that, hey, I coach Josh Allen. If this guy can be half of what Josh Allen is, we're going to be all right. And he was.
He was running those Josh Allen designed run plays.
It's the Buffalo offense. He's running the Buffalo offense. Now, in his first year, when Daboll still had his balls and he still coached with his balls, like, there, you saw it. There were flashes of it. Right? And then it's slowly but surely eroded. And now this is what we have. So it's a combination of two. But I think the writing's on the wall, and it's Daniel Jones. I think it's...
But isn't it... I understand what you're saying. Is that they don't want him, yeah. Right? But they had a decision to make in this offseason if they were going to start over at running back or if they're going to start over at quarterback. And I watched the Hard Knocks show, and it was, we're going to build around Daniel, and we're going to develop Daniel. That's why I feel like the issue is they haven't developed him. Like, he came in, and if you remember, he played well. There was a season where he did play well, and we haven't – there's been no growth. There's been no development. It's like he had that one good season where he played well, and time stopped. He didn't develop. He didn't get better at – you know, when they went into their off-season meetings – you know, it feels like they're like, Daniel, you're doing great. Keep up the good work. It wasn't like, well, Daniel, you need to work on, you know, throwing the left out, you know, from the right hash. Or you need to work on, you know, looking the safety off. You need to be better at not running the football, but hitting guys in the chest with the football. Like, it seems like the development just stopped at some point.
Yeah, no, that is fair. Between year one and year two, under Daboll. That's the line of demarcation.
And if you look at Josh Allen, right? Josh Allen was the opposite, mm-hmm. right? It's he came in playing like shit, yes. right? And we saw him always running the ball, right? And now there's he's matured, where he realizes I need to throw it. I need to throw it away. I need to hand the ball off. I need to, you know, there seemed to be more development with Josh Allen and no development with Daniel Jones. And I think at some point, Daniel Jones is probably a better athlete than Josh Allen, but that's not the case anymore.
No. At some point, you just have to kind of cut bait with him. And the problem is they double down. But you understand why they did it? Because the running back position has become so devalued. Daniel Jones did have those glimpses, those flashes. I understand. I don't condone it. Like, any reasonable fan, any reasonable person could tell you that that ain't it, Chief. But when you're looking at it...
But when you think about it...
I'm just looking at the draft, right? Like, he went after Devin White, but before Josh Hines-Allen, Hockenson, Ed Oliver, Devin Bush, Jonah Williams, Christian Wilkins, the late Dwayne Haskins, Brian Burns. They could have got Brian Burns. They ended up with Brian Burns anyway. So they could have gotten Brian Burns. And one pick later was Dexter Lawrence. Right? Now you're looking at, like, the next quarterback taken after Daniel Jones. Still going. Oh, they could have had Debo at 36. Still going. Ryan Finley at 104. Unless I missed somebody. But
I got a signed auto.
Oh no, your boy Drew Lock at 42. I missed him. So there you go.
Who is a giant?
What the fuck? What the actual fuck could just drafted these guys? But, you know, that was a bad quarterback group. Kyler Murray went number one that year. But I gotta say, like, some of it is on coaching staff, some of it is on the GM, but Daniel Jones needs to take some ownership in what he has done and what he has not done. Now, for me, the worst situation, the worst of the bunch, it's gotta be Dallas, man. I'm sorry. Like, Dallas, like, this, you're a perennial contender, you're always so hyped. You had Dak, you had CD, you're losing all these guys. Now, Dak's done. You have an opportunity to evaluate Trey Lance. This is your time to actually do that. But no, you're going to roll out Cooper Rush again. For what? For what? What are you doing? What are you holding steady for? There's nothing to hold steady about. You're overrated, overstated. Micah Parsons is turning on Mike McCarthy. As usual, that train's never late. Mike McCarthy's the problem. Maybe Mike McCarthy's not the problem. Maybe, just maybe, it's not. But it's a circus. It's been a fucking circus. It'll continue to be a fucking circus. At least the Giants, it's more of, like, pitiful. It's not comical. With the Cowboys, it's comical. From a Schadenfreude standpoint. Like, you know it's going to happen. This is what Jerry Jones does. Inevitably, this is what's going to happen. And this team always seems to have aspirations. At what, I have no idea. But between you and I...
So you would say Mike McCarthy's gone?
He's gone. He
has Dak played his last
game? I think so. But the problem is that what gives me pause about that is that they refuse to evaluate Trey Lance. What the hell? Why'd you trade for him then? Why'd you trade for him?
Right. Z, he might be that bad. He might just be that bad in practice.
Yeah, but you know...
I mean, he played a little bit in the game and it was just like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, but he didn't get that much at North Dakota State. He didn't get anything with the Niners. He's not getting anything with the Cowboys. You talked about development. Daniel Jones has at least gotten his ass off the bench and he's played. When Trey Lance needs to play. Trey Lance probably hasn't played since that year in North Dakota State.
Still got paid?
Yeah. Is it about money or is it about playing? Like, what's it about? You know? I mean, at some point he wants to play, right? I mean, everybody who signs up to be a quarterback, everybody who takes that job eventually wants to play. Like, everybody, even like Clipboard Jesus, I'm sure Charlie Whitehurst wanted to play, but he was much better served holding that clipboard and having that sweet ass beard. Like, you think, like Chase Daniel. I'm sure Chase Daniel would love to have played more in his career. We don't know. That's bothersome to me. Like, they could be sitting on a really good quarterback, but they refuse to let him take his lumps. They did it with Troy Aikman. They let Troy Aikman get the shit beat out of him. They let him learn on the job. Why is this kid not good enough to learn on the job? That Cooper Rush is there. Like, you're overrated, overstated, and it's always, like, that's what you're going to be. The Jets, I don't even dignify with a response anymore. There's a special level of hell for the Jets.
I don't dignify with the response.
Like, I'm done with the Jets. I'm done with the fucking Jets. Bart Scott was done for the Jets on Sunday. Steve Gelbs, you know, Willie Colon. I am now watching the Jets just to see the post game on SNY. Because that's good. The post game is better than the game.
Who does it receive?
No, it's Connor, I think Connor Hughes, Steve Gelbs, Willie Colon, and Bart Scott. Really good. Really good. And you know Bart Scott doesn't give a fuck. Bart Scott will just go in. And the Bears, I think, are in the best situation because they're already acknowledging and they're making changes. This guy Waldron sucks. Get rid of him. All right. Eberflus, I would start packing my things too. And just leave them in a box. When you inevitably get that call. But, like you said, they're loaded for bear with talent. Talent doesn't always win out. So, you know, Caleb Williams clearly is frustrated. Clearly he's kind of punch drunk at this point. He's getting the crap kicked out of him, just like Justin Fields. So, kudos to the Bears for at least acknowledging there's a problem. But that's the first step, is admitting there's a problem. So,
you're right. That's right.
So, there you go. And speaking of problems, moving over to basketball, where the injury bug has bitten several big names. Chet Holmgren, Zion Williamson, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Jimmy Butler, and Ja Morant are down and out. Holmgren being the most severe, he fractured his pelvis. So, in your opinion, which injury is the most impactful?
I am going to say, well, Anthony Davis is back. I heard he's coming back. He's not missing any time. I would say Ja Morant really is what makes that team go. Right?
Yeah.
Chet Holmgren seems like they're done. It seems like he's done. I mean, he's going to be reevaluated in a couple of weeks.
8 to 10. Yeah.
How about this, Z? How about Oklahoma City should get on the phone with the Bucks?
Right?
And be like, hey, listen, we got draft picks. Give us Giannis.
Interesting.
What do you think of that? I also think, hear me out. I think another team that should get in on Giannis, the Brooklyn Nets.
Really?
They're good. Like, the Nets are good. They're a play-in team. They've got draft picks up the ass. They've got a ton of draft picks. Call Milwaukee. Like, hey, listen. We'll give you whatever draft picks you want. Give us Giannis. Because it's the start over in Milwaukee, right? The start over. It's not working. You're 2-8. You ain't turning this shit around, guys. Like, this is a carryover from last year. Dame and Giannis don't work. Trade him now. Giannis, send him to the Nets. Dame, where you want to go, brother? You want to go to Miami now? You can go to Miami now.
You want me to take Giannis? You're taking Ben Simmons off my hands.
Exactly. We'll give you all the draft picks you want, but you got to take Ben. You have
Deal.
To take Ben.
Deal.
Wouldn't yeah. you? And if you're Milwaukee, you're like, hey, Giannis, thank you. We won a championship. We fired a really good coach.
You son of a bitch.
We brought in the player you wanted.
Son of a bitch.
Not working. I'll kill you. I will kill you. Right? And it's just like, listen, thank you for the championship. We tried it your way. Fail. You're going to Brooklyn. Now, if you're Giannis, where do you want to go? Do you want to go to Brooklyn? Do you want to go to Oklahoma City? Do you want to go to Golden State? See, I don't think Golden State has the capital. They don't have the draft picks to make the deal.
The Thunder can make anything work.
The Thunder could do whatever they want, man. Another team that could do it is Houston. Yeah. Houston has draft
picks. And they're not bad, too.
They're not. They're 2 years away from being 2 years away.
But they're stockpiling talent. An infusion of a guy like Giannis changes things.
In Houston.
It changes things. It accelerates the timeline.
The problem with Houston, though, is I think they locked up some of their players for too long. Like, I think they made some stupid mistakes by signing guys to some long-term, not long-term, but longer contracts than they should have. I don't know. Put yourself in Giannis' shoes. Where do you want to go? And then put yourself in Milwaukee. Put yourself in, you know, Milwaukee's shoes. What trade makes sense to you? I think Brooklyn
would be great, except that he's going to come and he's going to torture me for the remainder of his deal, because you sent him in conference. If you are going to,
the Knicks don't have it either. They don't have the draft picks.
They just dealt for Towns. They just dealt for Bridges. They're done making trades right now. The next ones they're going to get are the guys that are going to be the glue to hold this team together. So, like, they're going to be, like, the role players. So, I really don't think that that's going to be a big one. But if I was Milwaukee, Houston would appeal to me, because I can probably get a couple young players, maybe some picks. I can work with that. I mean, the Ben Simmons thing makes too much sense, but then he's in conference. That's what bothers me. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Oklahoma City, they can call their shot. The problem is he going to mesh with SGA? Is he going to come in and say, this is my team now? No, motherfucker. This is my team. This is mine. All of this is mine. Mine. All of this is mine. Like, you didn't build anything. I built this. We built this.
We built this.
You're a mercenary. You're a fucking merc at this point in your life. So start acting like. But in terms of impact, like, they already have, they're missing Hartenstein too. I gotta say Holmgren. Like, Chet Holmgren being out is a problem. Like, he's a major factor, right? He's a key cog in that. I mean, we've seen what the Grizzlies can do without Ja Morant. We saw a lot of it last year. So it's one of those things that, yeah, he's averaging 20-9 this year, but inevitably going to miss time because he's going to do something stupid. So what's the point? You know, Zion's always hurt, so that train's never late. Anthony Davis is always hurt, that train's never late. I don't expect anything of the Suns. They'll be fine. And a healthy Durant, like, this is fine. Treat it like a vacation. You know, he'll come back. He's older. They're going to need, the Thunder are going to need a guy like Chet Holmgren to offset SGA, right? They're going to need more firepower. Now, they have a very good team, but it took off when Chet Holmgren got there, right? He sat out the rookie year because of injury, took off last year. They need him. It's clear as day that they need him. Now, can they get by without him? Yeah, they can get by. They absolutely can. The one thing that they have in their favor is that they're loaded for bear. Their war chest can go buy them another player, whether it's Giannis or whoever. Take your pick. Right? That's the beauty part of what Sam Presti's done, is that he said this is like generational wealth, man. They're good for a while. Or they can turn around and sell it all. They can go full LA Rams. They can go fuck them picks. They can go full on Wes Snead. They can go full on Snead and just go all in. But Holmgren is definitely going to be the guy. And a fractured pelvis, you figure he's eight.
You're talking about rehab.
Yeah, rehab. He's 8 to 10 from being evaluated. You're right. He's eight to ten before they can even say, "Hey, let's look at."
This guy can't even take a shit.
Right, he can't push when he shits. That's a problem. You have to be able to push when you shit. So.
And you're not having sex. You can't.
No, no, poor Chet. Poor Chet can't play basketball.
That's off the table.
There are a lot of things that are off the table right now for Chet Holmgren, but yeah, like that's a lot. That's a lot for him. But the one saving grace, you know, is that they'll be prepared. I mean, shit, if they got Giannis, that would be a game changer right there. That would be very, very intriguing. So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll watch that space and see if there's any movement on that front.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. The Wheel Route.
All right, boys and girls, the wheel is back, and we are doing a special edition of the Wheel Route for the MLB awards that will be announced next week. You ready, D? All right, spin this wheel. All right, rookies of the year. Who are your rookies of the year, D?
All right, so I have it in the National League. I got Paul Skenes taking the Rookie of the Year, 1.96 ERA, starting pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's only 23 starts, but, I mean, he was just nasty. I mean, it was the eye test there, Z. And then in the American League, you know what? I'm going to go with Luis Gill. Or Heel. They like to call Luis Heel. 3.50 ERA, 26.8% strikeout rate. That's pretty impressive. So that's who I'm going with there. What do you got?
Those are solid choices. I mean, Skenes and Heel already won the Baseball Digest Awards. So we're going to see where they go. Now, the nominees, the finalists, are interesting because you have two Yankees. You have Heel. And then you have Austin Wells. And then you have Couser from... Austin Wells is the other... nominee. Yeah. So you're looking at Couser. You're looking at Wells. And you're looking at... Yeah. Looking at Luis Heel. Which makes me think... Now, Luis Heel had a dominant year, right? He had a dominant April and May. A little bit of June. Then he started to fade a little bit. Wells... he was all right. And then Couser was merely okay as well. This feels like it's Luis Heel's to win. Now, conventional wisdom says that the Yankees split the vote and Couser wins. Just from the number standpoint. Now, it's got to be Paul Skenes. I mean, the dude is a freaking meteor. He was an absolute meteor this year. But, you know, stranger things have happened. But it's kind of hard to discount what you said. Not to mention, what other rookie you know after, like, 9 starts ends up starting the All-Star game.
Well, I was not.
I know you weren't, but you know what? He was a meteor. He was a phenomenon. He was.
No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. But then you're looking at Jackson Merrill, Jackson Churio, both very worthy candidates, and would win if they weren't going up against a guy like Paul Skeens. Either one of them would have a really good chance. The problem is that they're running up against a buzzsaw. But if you were to kind of pick a dark horse of the two, you probably have to go with Merrill. Merrill had a better year, so I don't think it's going to happen, but stranger things have indeed happened. All right, spin that wheel one more time. Manager of the year. Who are your managers of the year?
Yeah, so, I mean, in the American League, I'm going to go with AJ Hinch. I mean, he got the Tigers to the playoffs, even though it's bullshit how he got them to the playoffs. He still got them to the playoffs. He's still a really good manager. I mean, he won the World Series with Houston. He's shown that he can manage. It's not a fluke. So I'm going with AJ Hinch. In the National League, I'm going to go with your boy. I'm going to go with Carlos Mendoza. Aside from, you know, all the shit I talk, I mean, he still did the job. He got them into National League Championship Series, and you know he's a Yankee, but he's a Met now, and some of the stuff he brought over is working, and I think he deserves it.
Well, we're in agreement on that. Now, he's going up against formidable competition. He's going up against Pat Murphy of the Brewers. He's also going up against Schilt from the Padres. So you absolutely, you know, any one of those three, it's a lot like the Rookie of the Year race. Any of them could win. I think when you look at the season in totality, from where the Mets were to where the Mets ended, from 0-5 to OMG, like Gary Cohen said, you have to take the way that he managed this and how he navigated the scenario. Carlos Mendoza has done a fantastic job. And for that, he absolutely deserves his kudos.
Played their hearts
out.
They
do. They play for him. Absolutely, they do. Now, AJ Hinch maximized the potential of that team, right? They had a bunch of kids. They jettison Javi Baez. They bring in a bunch of friggin' AAA players up, and they get on an equatorially hot run. Quatraro from Kansas City and Stephen Vogt of Cleveland are the other two nominees. And it's interesting. It's a good thing it's not a postseason award, right? It's a good thing it's just for the regular season, because nobody acquitted themselves well coming out of the American League Central in the postseason. I got to go with Matt Quatraro. Like, as good a job as Stephen Vogt did, as good of a job as AJ Hinch did, I think that the expectations of the Royals were lower. I mean, AJ Hinch isn't going to get the Manager of the Year job off of, you know, he's not going to get that award off of 2 hot months. No way. Absolutely not. Now, as good as it was still only a couple hot months. The Tigers were kind of hovering for a while. Cleveland went wire to wire, so that gives you a little bit of wiggle room there. That gives you a little bit of pause. But for expectations, you know, you take a flyer on Seth Lugo, you take a flyer on Michael Wonka, you expect to trade these guys because you're in fucking fourth place, you know. And not only do you not end up in fourth place, but you make the playoffs. Playoffs? You kidding me? So,
do you feel like Bobby Witt Jr. might be entering into Mike Trout land?
Possibly. I think it's too early, and the team is actually good around him. So that I think that's the only thing that's really giving me a little bit of pause on that, because they're not just throwing money at the problem; they're actually developing players. They have Pasquantino. They have a bunch. They still have Salvi, the ghost of Salvi Perez, the rotting corpse of Salvi Perez. But you know, they still have plenty there, and I think they're going to be good for a while. The problem with the Angels is that they always threw money at the problem, and it never gelled.
You don't even know what the problem is. What's the problem?
Right. Like, what are you talking about? What are we doing here?
We all know what the problem is, Billy. Okay, great. What's the problem?
Nope. He gets on base.
You're trying to replace Yambi. We can't do that.
There's the good teams. There's 50 feet of crap. And then there's us. So that's exactly what's going on. All right, let's roll it again, see where we end up. Cy Young. Who's taking home your Cy Young awards?
Well, in the National League, I'm going with my guy, Chris Sale. Just dominated this year. I mean, 35 years old, veteran, 18 wins, 2.38 ERA. Listen, Skeen's got the start in the All-Star game. He gets the Cy Young Award. We wasted his year. I hope he comes back and does as well as he did this past season. In the American League, I'm going with Tarik Skubal. AL Triple Crown, right? He had wins, ERA, and strikeouts. I'm not giving it to Class A. I'm not giving it to a closer. I'm not giving it to Seth Lugo or the fucking Royals. I'm giving it to Tarik Skubal, who played on a shitty Tiger team and got them into the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, I love Seth Lugo for what he did when he was a Met. He stuck it up the Mets' ass. They said, oh no, you're only a reliever. Okay, like he's gone and made himself into a viable starter. Yeah, he pitched to an even 3 ERA and had a 1.09 whip. Sorry, that's not Cy Young. Sorry, Charlie. Adios, muchacho. And sorry, Emmanuel Clase... The argument can be made because he had 47 saves and he had a 0.61 ERA. It's a regular season award. That's the one thing. He was the best closer in the league for one of the best bullpens in the league. And then he shit the bed in the playoffs. But then that's... Badly. I'm not discounting that at all. But when you're running up against the guy who led the league in wins, who led the league in ERA, who led the league, the major leagues in strikeouts, not just the American League, he led the major leagues in strikeouts, it's hard to say that it's not Tarik Skubal's to win, right? But Class A is probably going to finish in second. He may even poach some first place votes. He was the Class A of the closers this year. He was the head of the Class A. I'll see myself out. But... you're looking at Wheeler had a great ERA, had a 0.96 whip. Yeah, that's it. Everything else goes in Chris Sale's favor, right? Everything else. You're looking at, 18 wins, 2.38 ERA, 225 strikeouts. But no, there is absolutely no reason that Chris Sale does not win the Cy Young Award this year unless they're going to trip over themselves to give it to Skeens, which... He had 100 fewer innings. Come on now. Okay. Now, Chris Sale had 177 and two-thirds innings. Skeens had 133. Zach Wheeler pitched over 200. He pitched 200 flat. Come on now. Can we not? Can we just... Yeah, Seth Lugo, 206. Right? Skubal, you're looking at over 200. So there's something to be said for that. He didn't pitch in April. Give him Rookie of the Year. Rookie of the Year is enough. You don't need to lump Skeens in there when Chris Sale had the vastly superior year. All right, one last spin. the one we've all been waiting for, MVP. Who you got?
I mean, this one's kind of easy, right? I mean, I can't... You have to give it to Ohtani in the National League. 50-50 guy. Just a monster all season. And you have to give it to the Judge of the American League. Judge's OPS was 1.159, highest by any player in 20 years. Last person who had that high was Barry Bonds.
That's fair. Now, Ohtani was a 50-50 guy, absolutely. But on that team, definition of valuable again. They added Ohtani, and were they that much better than they were? Eh, not really.
Well, they did win. Well, they did win the World Series.
And what did he do? They could have got somebody else to hit one something in the playoffs.
He got them there. They don't get there without him.
But you remove him from that team, they're still good, right? You remove him from that lineup, it's still really good. Remove Francisco Lindor from the Mets lineup, and you, how many times have you said it? Definition of valuable, it's Francisco Lindor. But best player award, which is what the MVP is, it's Ohtani. So Ohtani's going to win. However, in terms of value, Ohtani's value lies in his ability to pitch and hit. So you can give him the award every fucking year. It's LeBron all over again. It's that LeBron award. So if there was a year when they were going to back off of that, it would be this year. Because of what Lindor did. Ketel Marte, like, they just needed a third person. It feels like, oh, just pick a random person. Oh, Ketel Marte. Okay. He set career highs in homers, ribbies. 36 homers, 95 ribbies. Good for you, I guess. Nice job, I guess. Solid numbers, but you're running up against Ohtani and Lindor. That's a distant third. Somebody will be a funny fuck and vote him a first. Somebody will give him a first place vote. Say something. Who are you, fucking clown? What are you doing? And that brings us to the American League. I mean, obviously Judge had the monster year, but it goes back to, again, Judge and Soto split. There's a possibility that Bobby Witt Jr. wins. It depends on how they do it, but he really can't argue with what Aaron Judge did this year. But the numbers and the fact that he has a teammate there, it bears out that it could split the vote. But you don't do what Aaron Judge does, right? You don't invoke the name Barry Bonds. You just don't. I mean, he only hit 58 homers this year. Only 58. Excuse me. Only 58. My God. Well, he must have been sick. But, you know, this is a monstrous year. But there is a weird pathway. Just like we said, there's a weird pathway for Couser. There is a weird pathway for Bobby Witt Jr. So I don't think it's Soto. It's either going to be Bobby Witt or it's going to be Aaron Judge. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if they pulled a little sneaky and Bobby Witt ends up getting this thing. But watch this space. We're going to hear the awards announced next week. Our picks are locked in. Hit us up with yours. FadeRoutMail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG at FadeRoutPodcast or drop us a line on X at FadeRoutDNZ and let us know who you're picking for the MLB awards.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an alleged superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the fadestorewithdnz.com. That's the fadestorewithdnz.com. Who is the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram account at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week? Derek Carr. To murder your teammate. What the fuck, Derek? How many times are you going to try and kill somebody? Poor Chris Olave. Poor Chris Olave. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week?
All right, so first up, I got Tua.
Hmm.
Okay? This dude is just coming off of being on IR for a concussion, and he tries to tackle a guy head first after throwing an interception.
Ooh.
What are you doing? What are you doing? I'm just not comfortable watching Tua play professional football. Tua Tagovailoa, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, I've got your boy, Johnny Newton. Defensive tackle for the Washington Commanders. Fourth and one, with the Commies poised to get the ball back. And Russell Wilson gets under center.
Gotcha.
And that ends the game.
Gotcha.
Jerzon Newton, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And last but not least, was this Tyrone Tracy?
Oh.
Giants force overtime against the terrible Panthers in Munich, Germany. Giants won the toss. Asked for the ball.
Things are looking up.
And Tyrone Tracy fumbles the ball. On the first play, Panthers recover, kick field goal, game over, have a nice 7-hour ride back over the pond. Tyrone Tracy Jr., you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. What do you got, Zeke?
I mean, good choices. You really can't go wrong. Pretty soccer heavy this week, but I have to give an honorable mention to the Florida State men's football team. Notre Dame 52, Florida State 3. And you guys got all pissy and sat out because you didn't think you were worthy. You wanted to be in the playoff. Playoffs? You're lucky if you get the 52-3. Get the fuck out of here. What the hell is wrong with you people? I gotta start with Man City. Trying to go for their fifth Premier League title. Trying to stay in it in the Champions League. Well, you're not really doing that good of a job here. You lost in the EFL Cup to Tottenham 2-1. You lost in the EFL... you lost to Bournemouth in Premier League 2-1. Bournemouth, who's pretty much like hovering around the relegation zone. You lost in the Champions League 4-1 to Sporting. And then you lost 2-1 to Brighton and Hove Albion on Saturday. Now, you have some time. That your next match is against Tottenham again on the 23rd. But this does not look good for Pep Guardiola's staff. You have a lot of changeover. Who knows if Erling Haaland is going to stay beyond this season. Kevin De Bruyne, Jack Grealish, you've kind of relegated him to the bench in favor of Jeremy Doku. There's a lot of self-inflicted shit going on right now. For a team that wants to win its fifth consecutive, there's a lot of self-inflicted shit there, Pep. So you're going to have to figure some stuff out, and buying a guy at the transfer window isn't going to, like, I don't think it's going to do it this year. So there's got to be some soul searching in Manchester. Man City, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, we talked about Man City. Let's talk about Tottenham. Well, in their most recent match, they lost to Ipswich Town 2-1. That was their first win of the season for the Tractor Boys. They had just came back from relegation, and yeah, that was their first win. Now, I'm just thinking out loud here that perhaps the Ange ball just isn't working. Like, you don't have the playmakers that you have. Like, you know, James Maddison's not doing the job. Losing Harry Kane finally bit you in the ass. You know, that's, Son is good, but you need more than just him. You need more on that side of the ball. And frankly, you play a high press, and yeah, those bad habits will lead to losing, especially to in the Tractor Boys. You can't lose to a team that hasn't been here probably since, like, what, the Clinton administration? Sounds about right. Tottenham, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, the MLS. Oh, your cash cow is out. Inter Miami loses to Atlanta in a best 2 out of 3 scenario. A number 9 seed goes in and takes it from the number 1 seed. Not only is that the worst possible outcome, but the point where, like, Don Garber, the commissioner of the MLS, didn't even go to the match. He was that confident that Miami was going to advance. But this is the problem. The growing problem with the MLS is that you put it behind the paywall with Apple TV. You pretty much shoved Inter Miami and Messi down everybody's throat. Now, everybody is actively rooting against your golden goose, or in this case, your pink goose. You're turning off the diehards for what? For the money grab? Well, I hope you like the money grab, because Messi's gone in 2 years. And then what are you going to do? Right? Luis Suarez, it takes him 3 days to get ready for a match because his knees are so fucked. Like, yeah, this is what you did. This is what you signed up for. MLS has worked very hard to get, you know, out from under the stigma of being the retirement league. And you just went and did it all over again, except this time it's behind a subscription to Apple TV. Do better. Just do better. MLS, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than me. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.